HD Smartcast. You're listening to a Hindustan Times production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Welcome to A View from the Stands, a podcast series in which we discuss the new normal in the world of sports. I'm Aditya Iyer, and with me is the national sports editor of HD, Rudraneel Sengupta.
Immediately after India went up 2-1 in the ongoing test series against England, Ravichandran Ashwin said, and I quote, "I really can't get a grip on what has happened in the last 2 or 3 months. Summing up, or perhaps even speaking on behalf of you and me and every other fan of Indian cricket, forget 2 months. It's hard for a lot of us to even get a grip on all that has happened in the last 2 days in Motera. Not only did India crush Joe Root's side in the space of 5 sessions and change at the new and large stadium in Ahmedabad, Ashwin also claimed his 400th test wicket in just 77 test matches, putting him in a most elite bracket of bowlers in India and around the world. Ashwin is just 34, with a good 5-6 years of top-flight cricket left in him, if he remains fit. And at the rate that he's taking these wickets, we're looking at a career haul close to Shane Warne's 708. If not more. Ashwin's 7 scalps at Motera was bettered only by Akshar Patel's 11, who couldn't put a foot wrong in a second test match either. Yes, all these wickets were taken on a pitch where even Joe Root bowled like Jim Laker from time to time to get his first 5-4 in first-class cricket. But this only makes me wonder if England would have been a little more competent had they played a second specialist spinner in Dom Bess. You can't blame the pitch for your team selection. I'm going to quickly turn to my co-host Rudra to get his thoughts on all that has happened in the third test. But man, can I first ask you what you really make of the surplus of talent in this Indian dressing room? Because I think it's a bit ridiculous now.
It really does look like that it's become a little ridiculous. I mean, and it's good that you brought this up, because even while this test match was going on, and there was a List A game where Bombay was playing Pondicherry, and in that game, Prithvi Shaw hit a double century, and Surya Kumar Yadav hit a 53-ball 133 or something like that. And I know it's Pondicherry, and it's not, you know, it's one of the rookiest teams that you can imagine in the Indian cricketing setup. But still, you know, like, for example, we have all been waiting for Surya Kumar Yadav to make his India debut in maybe T20 or even ODI cricket. But I mean, you know, where does he fit in? How does he get in? And it seems like this, everybody has suddenly unlocked in India the secrets of how to be an absolutely explosive cricketer. And like we've been seeing straight from Australia, every time somebody makes a debut right now, they make a debut that is like completely memorable. You know, it's 5 wicket hauls. It's like bringing India out of the brink of defeat and taking them to victory. You know, and with the bat, with the ball, it doesn't matter. You know, on the field, everything is, you know, they're not putting a foot wrong. And so Akshar Patel, you know, seamlessly now enters that zone of somebody. He's played 2 test matches now, 4 innings, and he has, like, you know, a 5-er on his debut. He has 11 wickets, the best ever figures in a day-night test match in his second match. So quite incredible, and you know, I mean, and I know that this pitch was a crazy pitch, but still, let's not take anything away from the way Akshar actually manipulated and used it to his advantage, and the way he completely outwitted the English batsman, who had no idea what was happening. They didn't know whether to play for the spin or whether to play for the line. You know, so I mean, we saw, for example, the way Bairstow got out. He had no idea what was happening. He just and you could see and you could see the way he was approaching it, you know, because of the way he was wildly trying to sweep from ball one, because, you know, he knew that he doesn't know what to do with it. And so he was just trying to hit his way out of it, and it didn't work. So, yeah, I mean, the surplus of talent is just insane. I mean, now, after this, you know, if in a test match, you don't miss Ravindra Jadeja. Wow. You know, that's all that needs to be said. But let's, you know, that's all good, but let's talk about this this insane pitch in Ahmedabad in the new refurbished Sardar Patel enclave, sports enclave, and the Narendra Modi Stadium.
Slash Narendra Modi Stadium.
Yeah. Starting its career in cricket with this completely nutty pitch, which crumbled so badly on day two that I know for a fact that this test match, if it couldn't have gone on for 5 days, because on day five, people would not be standing on this pitch. They would just be sinking.
I have absolutely no problem with the pitch at all, Rudra. I must like stick my neck out and say this, not just because India was winning. I wish they played Dom Bess and, you know, it was equally competitive and maybe England would have won. Who cares? I'm just a big fan of this wicket. I think it's a proper test match wicket. I really think there should be, mindset-wise and Indian cricket-wise, there's got to be a decolonization of the Indian cricket pitch. All pitches don't need to look like they do in the shires and counties of England. That's not the only way cricket is played. Just the way green tops see the end of test matches within 2 or 3 days, and they see it far more often than spinning tracks, because I think on a spinning track, like, both teams are in it, and also you're not really fearing for your life. As we saw in Motera, India didn't play too well in the first innings too, and this after a wonderful opening stand by Rohit and Shubman, there was a massive collapse. People could hardly put bat on ball, especially during that twilight time. It happens. I mean, it was a real test of our footwork and batting skills and like batting technique, and both teams failed over and over again. That's fine. But we outdid them in Chennai, and I think this is a proper test match wicket. Like, I would be really surprised and also a little baffled actually if the ICC rates this pitch as poor, because it really wasn't one. I mean, and I would have said the exact same thing had England beaten India in the space of 5 sessions. Point that I wanted to raise at the same time was something that you had mentioned while you were speaking about how players are just appearing as fully formed, great test cricketers on arrival. Like, you know, when they make their debut, they're already so good. It really makes me wonder whether there would have even been a place for people like Marwan Attapattu in this era, because, you know, Attapattu famously or infamously scored many ducks in his first five, six test matches. And, you know, Rana Tunga kept giving him a go because he thought like, hey, you know, this guy really is the future. He's just not managing to get it in at this point, right? Would a guy like him even have survived this kind of, talent in a dressing room? Because like, anybody makes a duck now and you basically throw him out, right? Because we have so many guys who can get 150 on debut or those 7 wickets on debut. So I thought that was a fantastic point that you raised there.
I think that balance needs to still be there in terms of, you know, what we see as spectators is very different from, of course, what a coach or a trainer or your sure. colleagues in the team, your captain will see when they're training with you, when they're on the nets, when they're tracking your career from the first ball onwards. And so there has to be a balance. For example, I mean, very easy example to give here is Ajinkya Rahane, who's not having a good time with the bat for a very long time. But it does not mean that he gets chucked out of the team simply because, you know, everybody around him knows what he's capable of, and that in sports, there's always going to be ups and downs and little phases where you can't do things right. And it's important for that person to see that people are still keeping faith in him and to be able to come make his, you know, way back from whatever lean patch that's there. Somebody has, from our team had written about how once Ravindra Jadeja is fully fit, Akshar Patel is not going to be in the team anymore. And that's fair enough. Even though his debut has been absolutely sensational, you know, you can't discount. Jadeja is still the number one pick in that position. for all the things that he does. So there's a lot of balancing that needs to be done. But yes, it's a very exciting place to be in. But, you know, let me circle back and not talk too much about this.
I wanted to know your qualms on the pitch. I'm sorry I had to bring in the point earlier that you had made, but now let's get back to the pitch immediately.
Because I so strongly disagree with you that I'm like falling off my chair right now. I so strongly disagree with you about this. Because you see, you said that not every pitch has to be the pitch in a shire in England. Yes, of course, but that's not the point. I mean, you don't have to go to absolute extremes. You don't need to make pitches which are batting, which is a batting paradise or whatever, or great for fast bowlers to move. But you still need to make a pitch that's playable in some ways. It still needs to hold up for a test match is supposed to be 5 days long, and a pitch that crumbles the way it did on day two. How are you going to play day three on it? How are you going to play day four on it? And just to say that. Hold on. And you said that this happens.
For 5 days. That's all my point is. Like,
And we don't have a problem. And we don't have a problem when tests end in 3 days. We don't have a problem when tests end in 4 days. But on day two, to have the number, how many wickets fell on day two? That's 17 wickets, all of them going to spinners. And just like, you know, it's not believable to me that two teams like England and India both have forgotten how to play spin entirely, which is what basically Virat Kohli was implying. Oh, batsmen were not applying themselves, and you know they need to be able to apply themselves and concentrate on how to play spin. Come on, I mean, how can all the batsmen, including him, in two teams, suddenly forget entirely how to play spin? I mean, you know, I know that English teams or South African teams or you know the teams like that, they historically have problems playing spin. What about India? What about India losing 5 wickets to Joe Root, who's never going to repeat this ever again unless he gets a pitch like this? So you know, the last time a test match was completed in 2 days was in 1935. So, you know, we've had like the Second World War after that. And, you know, and it's never happened. It just doesn't happen. This is not something that's run of the mill. I mean, I understand a little bit about where you're coming from, because you know I have my own love for very very freakish pitches.
Yeah,
just like
it's
you.
Diversity, Rudra.
Yes, but to a limit. You know, I mean, I sound like suddenly I when I said that I sounded like an uncle. But you're putting me in a spot right here. Yeah, I don't know now. I'm judging myself for being an uncle.
Let me say one
other thing before we this.
Sure, now
this
sure, is becoming please a, go ahead.
Now this is becoming an Arnab Goswami show. But
no, there's never so much laughter on one of those shows, right?
No, that's true. That's true. They're completely devoid of humor. There's no space there for any kind of humanity or humor.
Go for it.
But my point being that if this pitch, see, the ICC will rate this poor or not poor, or that's all good, okay? Nobody is even talking about the fact that this pitch is, you know, not worth a test match. And I think the reason why that's not happening, even though we've had the rarest of rare things where a match has ended in just 2 days, in the entire test match history, it's happened like 7 times. And most of them happened in like the 19th century when the rules were completely different and you had rest days in between. And one of them happened on this pitch in South Africa where it had rained and there were no covered pitches. Then all of that, let's forget all of that. Let's just talk about the fact that if this was a pitch like Sabina Park, where fast bowlers were getting insane movement and bounce and running through batting lineups, this match would have been abandoned because fast bowling is dangerous on a pitch like that.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. Just because it's spin and it's innocuous looking and you know it can't hurt nobody, it's just going to take your wicket and that's all it's going to do. It's not going to like crash into your head. So that I think is the reason why this pitch is not being called a pitch that should not have been used for a test match. Otherwise, I really think that if this was that kind of a fast bowler's paradise kind of a pitch and it ended in 2 days, this match would have been null and void. All right, I have done. I'm done. You can go.
Yeah. No. I too, you know, sympathetic, and I understand where you're coming from. But all I want to say is, I think it was Sunil Gavaskar who summed it up. And, you know, sometimes he does come up with these amazing gems and, you know, really puts you out there and tells you what it feels like to be a batsman. And, you know, he doesn't often come across in his commentary, but it did in this case, where he said, this is the true test of a batsman, and I've batted all over the world. Right? On fast bowling pitches, it's basically about bravado and whether you can play off the back foot or the front foot, mainly off the back foot if the ball is bouncing and doing a lot. The real test of a batsman's technique and character and ability to score runs should always be judged on spinning tracks, because you have to use your feet. You have to use your feet to come ahead and smother the ball. If you can't do it, it doesn't matter whether you're Virat Kohli or if you are Ishan Sharma, you're going to get out, right? And you have to use the width of the crease. It's a complete test of every skill that you ever honed and you want to test out to see if you're good enough as a batsman. It happens when you play spin on spinning tracks. It doesn't just have to be in the subcontinent. It could be in Durban. It could be in Sydney. I'm obviously taking the names of spin-friendly tracks outside of Asia, but it could be anywhere. Spin is the ultimate test, right? And it just so happened that we managed to, and when I say we, I mean India, managed to beat England in the third test because of a strong opening stand two times over. Everyone else failed, and they failed equally. So I don't see anything that's wrong with it. I mean, I most certainly don't think this was a null and void pitch, and you know, or a null and void result. That should not happen. My second point, and I swear this is my concluding point. I don't know if it's a conclusive one, but maybe we'll never see eye to eye on this, right? In tennis, there is a reason why the person who does well on clay and grass, especially because those two seasons follow each other so closely. You know, it begins sometime in May, and the grass court season ends sometime in July. So for those 3 months, you're basically playing clay for one half and then grass one half, although the grass season has dwindled now, the size of it. Because the grass court specialist frowns upon everything that happens on clay. It feels a lot like Motera. And, the clay court specialist, they were known as the clay rats in the late 90s and early 2000s, hate the grass court surface, right? Because it just totally doesn't suit their needs. Which is why when Rafa came along, Rafael Nadal, he was appreciated as much as he is today, is because he managed to conquer both simultaneously back to back, right? While everyone else was standing around frowning and going, man, I either hate this or that. Rafa was like, let me show you guys how to get it done, right? Like, stop complaining and go about your business and see if you're good at like everything that the sport throws at you. And I think the Indian team is a little bit like him in the sense that it does get very difficult for India when they travel, but they're slowly coming around their fears and they're learning how to bat on green tops and not complaining every time Stuart Broad gets 8 for 15 or whatever the hell he gets on those tracks. We just lose and move on with it and try and get better the next time around. And I honestly think that this kind of diversity in cricket and on pitches is what makes this game so beautiful. Otherwise, just have, you know, rubber matting or concrete tracks all over the world and like, you know.
Well, you're again going to extremes. This is not.
No, and but, then, okay. And then skew it even more in the batsman's favor is all I want to say. Right.
Well, yeah, don't know. So, okay, I agree completely with your assessment of the Indian team, and it is a thrilling development. It's wonderful to watch them do what they're doing, irrespective of conditions, and and of course, both teams face the same conditions, and one of them emerged victorious. And this is what India did in Australia as well. So, yes, of course, I completely agree with you on that, and that's wonderful. And well, for the rest of it, I mean, we'll have to wait and see what happens in the fourth test, which will be played on the same stadium, on the same ground. And I wonder how different, maybe they'll not use the same pitch, but I wonder how different another pitch on the same square is going to be like, considering the soil composition is going to be pretty similar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, and plus the pink ball will be taken out of the equation, which is which of course also created some problems because of the way it skidded and sped up. Yeah, so we'll have to wait and see. But, you know, the other thing I agree with you on is that I loved watching it. for all my morality, the screaming and shouting, I loved watching it. No doubt about it. It was just crazy yesterday. I went to get a cup of coffee, and the next thing I know, like, you know, Joe Root had taken 3 wickets for no runs. And then after that, I was just glued to my seat, and just that's all I did was watch. So yeah, okay. So that's what it is. Yeah. Oh, so hold on. Let me bring something else up, because that really emotionally resonates with me, because I was a very poor batsman whenever I played cricket, in whatever little cricket I played in at a very low level. I was a really poor batsman. Okay, but there came a time, but I was not a bad wicketkeeper. So I used to, because of that, and because wicketkeeping is a specialist skill, I used to get picked for teams to be the wicketkeeper. And it used to really bother me how bad my batting was. And, you know, I would just go out all nerves and sweating and getting out without scoring and things like that. But there was one match in my entire school and college years when I stepped out to a fast bowler and I hit a six. All right. And it was the best moment of my life. Now, I'm not comparing. I'm just telling you a personal story. This is not a comparison. Yeah. But when Ishant Sharma hit that six, right?
I knew you were coming to that.
And yes, when he hit that six, and it's been 194 odd matches, tests, ODIs, T20s, in a 15-year-long career where he has never hit a six in an international match. And there he was. And what a beautiful shot it was. It was completely in control. It was not some cross-batted weird swat. It was properly played with foot movement, and it went and sailed the distance. And I had that childhood feeling of hitting a six, you know, came back to me. And I felt so liberated, and I felt liberated on his behalf, that it must have felt for him. This must have been a wonderful feeling, you know, at that moment to have spent 15 years in his international career. I know that batting is not his thing, but still, he went out to bat so many times. To hit a six is wonderful, you know. So it must have felt great. That's all I wanted to say.
Yeah, you know what? I was going to conclude this episode by talking about how, you know, England can perhaps, you know, make better selection calls for the next test. But I think after that personal anecdote, I have nothing left to say, because it was just so beautifully self-derogatory that I loved it. I mean, I think that is our conclusion. And also on the Ishant Sharma six, it was the first six of the new Motera Stadium. And the second six was hit by Jack Leach. So the first and second sixes in a stadium where there was so much hype about, like, you know, the Rohits and the Virats and the Joe Roots and the Ben Stokes of the world came from the backs of Ishan and Jack Leach. So, yeah, more power to them as bowlers and batsmen. And, yeah, we'll see you guys after the fourth test, where we will basically find out whether India goes through to the World Test Championship final, or if Australia go through, because England has already been knocked out. That's that from us. Thanks for listening in.
This was an episode of A View from the Stands. Do like and follow us on at HT Smartcast on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter, or write to us on podcasts@hindustantimes.com. You can listen to more podcasts by logging on to htsmartcast.com.
This was a Hindustan Times production, brought to you by HT Smartcast.
HT Smartcast.